That's a wonderful hymn, isn't it? I'll tell you, I got saved at about 10 years old. But in my teenage years, I got away from the Lord. And I wasted a few years. But I wasted a lot of life during that time. And I think of that hymn, "Oh, the years of sinning wasted. Could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. To His will I'd gladly bow." I regret that I don't have more life. I look at the normal expectancy and I regret that I don't have more to give. I think you get wiser when you get older. Sometimes it's a little too late, amen? And so I would say to the young people tonight what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, amen? And it's a pleasure to be here tonight. Brother Jeffco, thank you for the word. That was some good stuff. My cup is filled up, amen? And no doubt about it, but like the preacher said, we're hoping to get it overflowing. You know, brother, you said something about Joseph being like the vine going over the wall. You know, the cup runs over. You know, filling my cup is for me. When it runs over, that's for everybody around me, amen? And may God fill our cups overflowing for the sake of others, amen? Would you turn tonight, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7. It's a beautiful night. I'll tell you, temperature-wise and everything else, it's a good night to go to sleep. Can I get a witness on that one? But I'm hoping that you can't. Not tonight, not yet, amen? Not until the service is over, amen? Young lady went up to the preacher at the end of the service and said, is the message over? And he said, no, now we got to go live it. Amen. Amen. The message ain't over when the preacher's done. It's time to go live it. The hardest part, I should say, amen? Matthew chapter number 3. Tonight I'd like to preach a message. And I want to preach a message tonight that's entitled or that's on this topic. Physical connections are not enough. Physical connections are not enough. And by the time we get through the message, I hope and pray that all of us would understand what that means. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, tonight. And let me just say this. We need more than a physical connection to the things of God. We need more than just a physical connection to the things of God. We need a personal, spiritual connection to God Himself. Spiritual connection. A personal, spiritual connection to God Himself. Amen? Now, I want to give you three points tonight, and I want to first begin with this one here. In Matthew chapter number 3, I'll give you the point before I even read this. If you take notes, you want to jot it down. When it comes to being saved by God, physical connections are not enough. When it comes to being saved by God, physical connections are not enough. I want you to look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 3. And notice, if you will, in verse number 7, the Bible says this. But when he saw, and this is referring to John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's wondering why they're there. By the way, they're only there as spectators to see what John's doing. John was preaching a message about the kingdom coming, and people were believing him and identifying with the message by being baptized, and he saw the scribes and Pharisees coming, and he knew they weren't coming to repent at the message, amen? In fact, they didn't think they needed repentance. That's some of the worst things right there, amen? But watch what he says. You bring forth, verse number 8, therefore fruits meet for repentance. But look at verse number 9. He's telling them, look, I know you didn't come to repent. I know you're not coming to submit to the message that is given. By the way, if you did, you need to show forth meats and fruit of it, if you will. Now I'm going to tell you, these were the type of people that they did not think they needed repentance. You understand? They didn't need, if I could put it in our vocabulary, they'd be like people saying, I don't need salvation. And by the way, let me say this. When Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, do you know what he said to him before he said, you must be born again? Two words. Marvel not. Marvel not. If I went to a priest walking down the street with all of his garb on, I'd probably have to say to him before I told him he needed to get saved, I'd say, listen, don't be surprised, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. But over in John chapter 4, he speaks to the woman at the well. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you something surprising, lady. Can I get a witness on that one? You understand, this person knew they needed to be saved. This person, they think they're already saved. Now watch this. Physical connections to the things of God is not enough to save you and me. There has to be a personal spiritual connection to the God of heaven himself. Watch this now. Look what John the Baptist said to these people who thought they were okay already. Verse number 9. And think not to say within yourself. You see, when the preacher's preaching, we're speaking in our hearts things. Can I get a witness on that one? We're saying, amen, that's true, or we're saying, I don't think so, maybe not me. But here's what he said, John the Baptist. He said, you know what, I know these people. They're going to think, I don't need this. This is for the bad people, not for me. Watch this. Watch what he says in verse number 9. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. You understand what he's saying. They would say, we don't need to be saved. We connected physically to Abraham. We're Jews. Amen? In fact, if you turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter number 9 for a moment. Please, Romans chapter number 9. See, physical connections are not enough to save you. Amen? You could be physically connected to the things of God, but not be saved. And don't think that you're saved, Romans chapter 9, don't think you're saved because of your physical connections. Amen? Romans chapter number 9, I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 6 to 8. I want you to get this, if you would. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 6 to 8, the Bible says this. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Just because they were Jews didn't mean they were saved. Watch this now. He goes on to say in verse number 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You say, what does that mean? Isaac was the child of promise. He wasn't the child of the flesh. Amen? Look at verse number 8, if you will. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted the seed. What does that mean? Listen, you may be connected to the flesh of Abraham, and you may be a Jew today, but if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot be saved. It's not being connected to the flesh of Abraham that saves the Jew. It's being connected to the faith of Abraham that saves the Jew. We hear the word of God and believe the word of God in our hearts, and God counts it righteousness unto us. Amen? Physical connections are not enough to save you. Don't think you're saved because your mom and dad are. Amen? Everybody needs a personal, individual salvation. Amen? Connected to the things of God is wonderful, but we need to be connected to God himself. Amen? I want you to note, just note this, John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jewish people. But to them that did receive him, he gave the power or the authority to become the children of God. They were born not of blood, meaning they weren't born again because of their blood lineage to Abraham, if you will. Amen? By the way, let me say this. In Matthew chapter number 12, the Lord Jesus was speaking to some individuals, and somebody came to Jesus and said, hey, Lord Jesus, your mother and your brethren are outside and they want to speak with you. Now, Jesus took the opportunity to really get down in the nitty-gritty and say, let me tell you who my mother and my brethren really are. In essence, let me tell you who's really related to me. You see, my mother's out here, my physical brothers are out here, but he looked at his disciples, pointed to his disciples and said, these are my brethren and my mother and my brethren. Amen? What does he say? By the way, at that time, his brothers weren't even saved. You could have been the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were not a believer, you couldn't be saved. How about that? To be connected to Jesus and not even be saved. Amen? It's so important. It's so important. Amen. In fact, I want you to turn with me for a moment to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. People think, boy, if I can get a hold of some religious relic, if I can get some kind of physical connection to the things of God, that'll be my salvation. No, it won't. You need an individual, personal, spiritual connection to the God of heaven himself. In him we live and move and have our being. He's right near you. He's right there. Amen. No doubt about it. Philippians, if you will, chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Physical connections are not enough. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, the truth. you could have a peace. It's not possible. It's not possible. But you could have a piece of the physical body of Jesus Christ in your hand, and that would not save you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 6 spoke to the disciples, or those of many people that were following him, and he said, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And right away, some of them couldn't understand what he was saying, and they walked away from him, no more to follow him. And he wasn't speaking about cannibalism. He was speaking about accepting him, digesting him into your heart, into your life, as a way of being saved. And by the way, he said this by way of cannibalism. He said, listen, the flesh profiteth nothing. Do you know what flesh he's talking about? He's talking about his very own flesh. The flesh of Jesus Christ would profit you nothing if you did not believe who he was. Amen? He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? I want you to look at Philippians chapter number 3. If there was any Jewish person who could settle the question whether just simply being connected to the Jewish nation made you saved automatically, it was Paul the Apostle. And let's look just for a moment at Paul's testimony when it comes to his salvation. Look at verse number 1, if you would. He said, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, indeed, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. By the way, he's saying this, there are Judaizers coming in to God's people saying, you can't just simply be saved by trusting Christ. You got to be circumcised. You got to obey the law. And Paul said, watch out for those guys. You don't do anything to get saved. It's not what you did. It's what Jesus already did. Not the labors of my hands. Amen? Not the labors of my hands. We come to the Lord, and the only thing we can do is cling to his cross. Amen? Verse number 3, for we are the circumcision, he said, we the Jews, which worship God in the Spirit. By the way, he emphasizes in the Spirit for a reason. Because the Judaizers were focusing on the flesh. Amen? Watch this. Watch what he says in verse number 3. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. In the very context, he's saying, as a Jew, I'm not putting my confidence in my standing in order for God to save me. But there was a time he did. There was a time Paul the Apostle put his trust in all that he was and all that he did in order to be saved. There's a lot of people like that. They think, well, I go to church, and I give, and I do this, and I do that. It's called a good work salvation. Many people believe I'm going to be saved because of who I am and what I do, and that's not how you get saved. Watch what he says in verse number 4, thank you. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to, that he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. And he gives his credentials. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. He said, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. In other words, Paul's saying, if you could try to depend on you to save yourself, he said, I could have done it better than you. Amen. I could have done it better than you. But look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, everything he thought was leading to his salvation, he realized was empty. He said, I count loss for Christ. Verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse number 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying this, I was holding on to my heritage. I was holding on to my pedigree. I was holding on to my good deeds. I was holding on to my own personal self-righteousness. He said, and then all of a sudden I had to realize, all of that I'm holding on cannot save my soul. It was all of this he was holding on to. And then it was Jesus right here. The Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the earth. It was the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's got all of this. You know what he's got to do with it? He's got to drop it. Because you can't hold this and get a hold of him.
You've got to drop what you thought was saving you and get a hold of the only one that could save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Physical connections is not enough when it comes to being saved by God. Amen? I'm going to give you the second thought. And I'm moving right along. Amen? I think I can do it. I'm going to just quote scriptures as much as I can tonight, because I have a lot of them. But I want to give you this thought, number two. Would you jot this down? If you take notes, would you jot this down? When it comes to being helped by God, physical connections are not enough. When it comes to being helped by God, physical connections are not enough. I want you to get some thoughts tonight. Number one, I want you to get this. Physical connections to the things of God will not keep you from being defeated. Physical connections to the things of God will not keep you from being defeated. I grew up in a Roman Catholic community. My mother was Roman Catholic, but thank God I was baptized a Roman Catholic, but never learned the different doctrines that they taught. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned about Catholicism. They like to use the cross to try to ward off evil. A lot of people put crosses over their bed with Jesus still on. You understand what I'm saying here? They kind of believe that there's something. In fact, they put the statues on their dashes and hope not to crash. You understand? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. What they do is they say, I got a medallion. I got the Mother Mary. I got some physical connection, if you will. And this is my hope. Do you know it's not just religious people that do that? There are Christians who believe that. I'm going to tell, let me give you the scripture. We can't turn to it, but I'll tell you, read it on your own. Jeremiah 7, 1 to 16. God sent the prophet, by the way, he said to the prophet Jeremiah, go to the gate of the temple of the house of God, and those people that are coming to worship, I want you to preach a message to those people. And guess what the message was? Get right with God. You would think that he'd say, Jeremiah, go out there, where go out and find them. No, because they're still acting religious. He said, amend your ways, get right with God. Now here's what he says, he warns them. And do not hold on to lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You say, what was he doing? They had a statement where they said, you know what, God's not going to allow somebody to come and take us away because we got the temple right here in our midst. They were depending on the presence of a building in order to protect them. And they said, God's never going to allow that. And he said, you're wrong. He said, by the way, look what happened in Shiloh. You say, what is that? I'll get to that in a minute. Amen. You can't think, well, we got a beautiful building, and we got a beautiful, and we got a lot of physical. That don't matter. Amen? You can have all of that. If you don't got him, it don't matter. Amen? Physical connections are not enough. We got to go deeper. Amen? Physical connections to the things of God will not keep you from being defeated. But let me give you this thought. Physical connections to the things of God will not give you victory. It's not just not going to keep you from being defeated. Physical connections to the things of God are not going to give you victory. Amen? You say, how can we mistake that? In Jeremiah 7, he said, listen, you don't think I'm going to come in and I'm going to destroy this place and take you away? He said, look back at Shiloh. What was Shiloh? Shiloh was that tabernacle set up where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was that place from which they went out to battle with the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 4. They went out to battle against the Philistines and 3,000 soldiers were killed. 3,000 of the Israelites were killed. And the leadership got started to wonder, why are we defeated? What's going on? By the way, that's not a bad thing to do. If you find yourself getting defeated, it is good once in a while to say, hold on, is there something wrong here? Amen? And you know what they did? They said, you know what? Hold on a minute. I got a great idea. Let's take the Ark of the Covenant. Watch this. Let's take it into the battle. Here's what they say exactly. It will save us. That's what I'm saying. Let's take our religious relic. Let's take that into there. And it will save us. They had it wrong. Amen? Let me tell you what happened. By the way, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, two rascals. Two rascals taking that ark into that battle. You know what happened when they took that ark into the battle? They lost about 30,000. Instead of losing 3,000, they lost 30,000. That relic didn't make the difference. Amen? See, why is that? They took a physical connection to the things of God, but it didn't take God Himself. Amen? In that very chapter, the ark was taken. The news came back. Eli died because of it. Phinehas' wife gave birth to a child, couldn't rejoice in it because Ichabod, the glory was departed. By the way, let me say this. When the ark was taken, the glory didn't depart. It wasn't there already. Amen. It was already gone. Let me tell you what we do. We see a person leave church and we say, oh man, they're now backsliding. Can I tell you, they got backslidden before they got backslidden. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You go through the motions until you go. You get up enough courage. You say, how do you know that? I'll tell you why, because Asaph almost left. Some of you are saying, well, who in the world is Asaph? Let's say he was the choir director. Let's say he was a song leader. Let's say he was the minister in the house of God. And while he was doing his duties, he was looking and lusting at the world. Amen? And he gave his testimony in Psalm 73. He said, inside was a battle going on. I was almost gone. But it was in the sanctuary where God's word got a hold of his heart and kept him there. Amen? None of us are out of the woods until we're out of the world. Amen? No doubt about it. Physical connections are not enough. It's not enough to keep you from being defeated. It's not enough to give you victory. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings, chapter number 2. I'll tell you, so much was said tonight in the preaching and in the singing that really goes along with all of this. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Physical connection to the things of God are not enough. They're not enough. Amen? They're not enough. Now I want you to do something for me here. Here's a statement. When it comes, by the way, brother, thanks for mentioning about notes. I'm going to tell you something. I was at the hotel today and I'm writing these notes out and I'm thinking, I got a lot of notes. Now, I try to go through them quickly, but there are times I feel like, you know, maybe I got too many. So when he talked about Jonathan Edwards having all those notes, I said, amen, praise the Lord. Some can preach by memory, but my memory don't serve me well all the time, amen? In fact, it don't serve me well enough with the things of God like I'd like it to, amen? I'm sorry, I'm the only one with that problem. You had to pray for me, amen? I want you to look with me at 2 Kings and chapter number 2. Listen to me, watch this statement. When it comes to having the protection and the power of God, physical connections are not enough. Now I want you to read something with me, and I want you to be careful. Because too often, we read over things. When Brother Jeffcoat was preaching from Song of Solomon about that, we want to hear that voice. But I'm going to tell you something. I said, how did I miss that? How did I miss that? Preachers, you understand what I'm saying to you. Somebody brings something out and you say, well, how come he got it and I didn't? But then I'm going to go preach it and I'm going to let people know what I got. What God gave me. I won't tell them where he gave it to me at, but nonetheless. Can I get a witness? You know, it's called hypocrisy and that's okay. Amen. But I want you to get this, folks, please. I'm not a scholar. Maybe you'll know different. Maybe you'll know better. And by the way, you can come up and correct me. You do it, you know, respectfully, please. Sir, you can correct me. But think about this, if you would. In verse number 8, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 8, you probably know the story about Elijah getting ready to go, and Elisha is following him around and waiting to see what's going on, right? Look at verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle. You remember that? He took his mantle. Now watch this. And what did he do? And he wrapped it together and he smote the waters. He's at the Jordan River, right? He's got Elisha right with him. He takes his mantle. He smites the water. And what happens? And immediately they were divided hither and thither so that they went over on dry ground. And we're right on that one. I'm going to skip some things to bring you down to the next point. And I want you to look with me in verse number 14. Verse number 14. You see, look at verse 14. By the way, look at verse 13 to get a little context. When the Lord came and he took Elijah, Elijah's mantle fell. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir.
Does anybody recall where God told Elisha, hey, when that happens, get the mantle? I don't read that. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. I don't know that he needed the mantle to do what needed to be done, but watch this now. Here's what I want you to see. Look at verse number 13. He took up also the mantle. See, why is that? He saw what Elijah did. And that fell from him. And he went back and he stood by the Jordan, right? Watch this. Look at verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters. Now, if I were to read verse 8, what happened after Elijah smote the waters? It opened up. But that's not what happened here. Do you read that that's what happened? You could keep comparing 8 and 14. It's not the same. You say, how do you know that, brother? Because Elisha called for God. If the waters were to open, I don't think he'd have said, where are you at? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You understand? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. See, watch, there's a pause here. Watch this. He smote the water, and by the way, I believe nothing happened. See, it wasn't the mantle he needed. It wasn't the garment of Elijah. It was the God of Elijah he needed. Amen? Watch this now. And he smote the waters, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now, let a statement. And when he also smitten the water, by the way, that tells me he smote it again. After calling on God. Amen? And then the waters parted. Amen? There's been times in our history where people saw great preachers. And we had some great preachers. And they're getting old. And young men need to step up and stand up. Amen? Somebody's got, hey listen, pillars of the church are dying and going to be with the Lord. You know what pillars are? Things that hold up things. Fathers, they're called. Amen? Not children. You're a child when you get saved. You go into youth as a Christian, but you become a father, mature. Amen? And there's many great preachers in history who wore certain types of glasses. And people said, man, I want to be like that preacher. I want a pair of those glasses. There were preachers who wore certain kinds of shoes, certain kinds of shirts and jackets and suits, and they said, I want to be like them. Get me that. Let me tell you something. That garment don't make the man of God. Amen. They don't make the man of God. It's not their garments you need. It's their God you need. And I need. Amen. Physical connections. They're not enough. We need a personal, spiritual connection with the God of heaven himself. Amen. And I'm afraid we're lacking that in this day and age. We'll go to church, we'll go through the motions. But we're not in our hearts trying to seek for God. And we heard that tonight. Amen? We heard that tonight. It's not the ark of God we need, it's the God of the ark we need. Amen? How insulting it is to say, I don't want you, I don't want what you, you know, what's connected to you. Not good. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you the third point. And I'm getting ready to quit soon. Hang in there. Don't leave me now. Listen, when it comes to being saved, physical connection to the things of God are not enough. When it comes to being helped by God, physical connections to the things of God are not enough. And then let me give you this third thought. When it comes to being changed by God, physical connections are not enough. I can't get into it, but I want you to turn somewhere. Turn to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I wish I could get into it a little deeper, but I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Being changed by God is going to take more than physical connection to the things of God. You got to get connected to God Himself. Amen? Let me say this very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Ahaziah was a king who was king of Judah for a year, and he was killed. His mother was a wicked woman named Athaliah. When her son was killed, she had all of the seed royal, everybody that could take that throne, she had them killed, her own relatives, in order for her to be the queen mother. But Ahaziah's sister took a young boy named Joash, 1 year old, ran him and hid him in the temple. And Jehoiada was the high priest, actually the husband of this woman that took that child and hid him. He was the high priest, but he was also the uncle of Joash. And this high priest was a good, godly man, and he hid that baby for 6 years in the temple. Athaliah was reigning in wickedness in Judah, and then the 7 years old, Jehoiada said, it's time, gather everybody together, put a crown on that baby's head, put a word of God in his hand, and let's get him on the throne. Athaliah found out what was going on. She ripped her garments saying, treason, treason, and they killed her. And Jehoiada, the good godly priest, put this young man, 7 years old, on the throne. But we know this young man was not the one running the kingdom. That good godly man was. Because of it, a revival broke out. Because of it, the temple was repaired. What a wonderful thing. But this young Joash king grew up. And Jehoiada died off. And I want you to see something. 2 Chronicles 24:1. Look at 24:1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Ibiah of Beersheba. Would you get the next verse, number 2? And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Would you get the next statement? All the days of Jehoiada, the priest. You see, this young man only did right because he was under a physical connection. It's like those kids that are do right as far as you can tell until they get out of school. Until they get out of your home. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. Listen, people can conform outwardly by the pressure of others for a long time. But never be transformed on the inside by God Himself. Watch us now. Look at verse 14. Look at the end of 14. They prepared the house of God. They started sacrificing. And look at the end of 14. And they offered burnt offerings. If you pick it up with me, they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually. What's the next statement? All the days of Jehoiada. This young man looked like things were going good. Only during the days of the man who was directly influencing, running things. Look at verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. In 130 years old when he died. Look at verse 16. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel. Look at verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, here's where it's going to come. The princes of Judah had made obeisance to the king. That's Joash. Watch this. Then the king hearkened unto them. Verse number 18, watch this. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they began to serve idols and so on and so on and so on. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying here. You can be under a direct influence of a preacher in a church, of a parent, and all of these things, and you can outwardly fit the mold. Sit in a church, sing in a church, and everything else. Amen? But inside, never have that personal connection to the God of heaven Himself. Amen? You say, well, brother, he was really young when they put him on the throne. I mean, come on, 7 years old. I understand that, but watch this. You know how old Josiah was when they put him on the throne? 8 years old. But you know what we read about his story? When he became 16 years old, here's what it says. He began to seek the God of his father David. We don't find that in Joash. You understand what I'm saying? There has to come a time in a young person's life where it's not my father's religion, my mother's religion, or relationship, where it's mine.
Amen.
Amen. I personally believe Genesis 32. I personally believe it's where Jacob got saved. Some people disagree. I've read different commentaries. But where did Jacob get saved, in my opinion? If you were to read it, and we don't have the time tonight, in Genesis 32, verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him. And we know that that was a dealing with the God of heaven. Alone. And at that time, as he wrestled with the Lord said, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. See, why did he want to find out his name? First of all, he lied to his father about his name. He's a liar. He's a schemer. That's what Jacob means. What's your name? When you first get saved, you got to admit your name. I'm no good. I'm a sinner. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. Can I get a witness? And he wrestled with the Lord, and then he said, I need your blessing. We find a prayer 20-something years before that where he's making deals with God. If you bless me, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll even throw in some tithes. But here we find him not making deals with God, but saying, I need you. And God touched him, changed his name, changed his nature. He limped away because of the touch of God. It was personal. It wasn't just, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, but now it was the God of Jacob. Personal. He had a personal contact with God. Amen? Every time we have opportunity to come in contact with the Lord, it ought to make a difference in our life. Bear with me, I'm almost done. There was a prophet that was sent to Jeroboam. Jeroboam's altar that he built. The man of God, no name, go preach against that altar. You know what the man of God was told? By the way, he had to go to Bethel. You know what Bethel means? House of God. He had to go to Bethel. You know what God told this preacher? He said, when you leave Bethel, don't come the same way that you went. So what does that mean? It means when you go to the house of God, you ought not to leave the same. You say, well, how do you draw that out of that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's another verse too. It's called Ezekiel 46:9. There's a millennial temple that's going to be built. And that's what that talks about. And what it says is, people that come into that temple to worship the Lord, if they come in the north gate, they are to leave out the south. If they come in the south, they're to leave out the north. Why? When you come in to worship God, you shouldn't leave the same. We use the term, we go to church week after week. I change it up. I think it ought to be tweak after tweak. You understand what I mean? Ladies, you hang a picture, you say, it just don't look right. And every time you go by, you kind of give it a little tweak. Why? You want it right. Let me tell you what, God tries to tweak us all the time. Just try, amen? I close with this. I usually get an amen when I say I close with this. But then again, people don't want to be known as, you know, I'm the one that wanted to get done. I'm not minimizing the physical connections to the things of God. I'm not. This is a physical Bible, and if you got one, it's a wonderful connection. You may have good parents and a good family, a good preacher and a good church. That's a lot of good physical connections. Can I go witness on that one? I'm not minimizing the physical connections. I'm saying don't be content with that. To have the right Bible, the right family, the right church, the right preacher, and never get saved, and never get helped, and never get changed, because you never had a personal spiritual connection with God. Don't go through this life disconnected to God. And please, don't leave this life disconnected to God. And may I say this? brother was talking about that brother in bus ministry and how the devil... Let me tell you why a lot of times guys like that get it. The devil ain't going after people that ain't doing nothing. Why do you think the song leader was struggling? Why do you think the preacher struggled? Why do you think Peter, the big mouth, was the target of the devil? He just wanted to live for God. He did. He really meant what he said. He wanted to live for God, and the devil saw a target and said, I'm going to hit him. Let me tell you something. Before preachers run off and do the things they do, they get disconnected. You may have a spiritual direct connection with God, and you may be living for God. Be careful. The devil wants to cut it off. The devil wants to cut it off. Amen? No doubt about it. Would you bow with me, please? I'm going to ask the instrumentalists, if they would, please come and just begin to play softly, if you would. Would you please stand with me at this time? I really don't know who you are, and I don't have to. God knows who we are. God knows every one of us. He knows where we are on the inside. Oh, we're here on the outside. But some of us aren't here on the inside. I believe God is calling some of us to get back on the inside. Come back to Him. Come back to the things of the Lord inside. Amen? As the instrument plays, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The old-fashioned altar's opened up. If somehow, some way, the devil's put a wedge between you and God and you just don't have that connection that you used to have, maybe it's a good time now to come back and say, Lord, I need to get reconnected. I do outwardly the things that I think I ought to do, but inside, I'm just not loving the Word. I'm just not hungry for the Word no more. I just don't really like the things of the Lord. I don't like to go to church. I don't like to hear prayer. There's a lot of things I don't like inside. Dear God, help me. People are coming to the altar. If God spoke to your heart, you want to come forward and just make some dealings with God. Strike while the iron's hot. If you are well connected with the Lord, maintain that connection. Because I promise you, hell's trying to separate you. Especially if you're trying to do something for God, He's trying to hinder that. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, tonight's a wonderful night to get saved. Get connected. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As the preacher comes, the instrumentalists will keep on praying and people can still continue to make decisions.
Was he plowing down your row?